Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up the Spirit. My name is Celeste Elliott. I am your host here pretty much every Thursday. And today I've got a special guest with me. We are pre-caffeinated, ready to go. So this is my friend and fellow registered medium, Kathleen Bolt. So hello to you.
thank you for welcoming me here. Hello, everyone.
And Kathleen is one of our, Monet guests?
Oh, yeah. Two guests. This is our third guest here, Monet.
Little silliness here today. So if you would like to call in, this is our Halloween edition. The number is always 818-739-8818. We are not doing readings on air, but we wanted to talk a little bit about Halloween and spiritualism and what that means, because, a lot of people think that spooky season and mediumship kind of go hand in hand, right? So we're going to kind of talk about all kinds of fun things, actually. Okay. So do you enjoy this holiday?
I do. I don't make a huge big deal about it, but it's certainly fun. I love the colors. I love the season. And I certainly love the kids when they get all dressed up.
Nice.
Absolutely.
And what are your, do you have any favorite costumes from years past?
Well, my brother's costume.
Yeah.
It was inspired, I thought, at the time, but I feel so sorry for him now.
It's going to be a good story.
The idea was he would be a scarecrow. And the brilliant idea was the family carved out a real pumpkin.
Oh, my.
And he wore a real pumpkin on his head from the time he went to school in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Through the parade.
Oh.
And, of course, back in school, then they took that off. And I remember asking him what it was like, and he said hot and smelly. So he walked around with a pumpkin on his head. But mind you, he won first prize, as he would. And my dad took corn stalks from the, garden and put them all around him. He looked fantastic. So really, that was my first costume. Our favorite costume was my first, but my favorite, because it was made by us, so it brings the memory forward. And I'm so proud of my brother. Like, he didn't complain the whole time.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Aw, bless his heart. That's, that is dedication.
Oh, absolutely. And he won too, which is super cool.
Nice. Yeah. So I probably put more time and energy into Halloween than I should. Nothing to do with mediumship at all. I just really enjoy it. So, But we are very interested in hearing from people here on the page as well. Feel free to tell us, what is your favorite part of Halloween? Do you have spooky story questions? Do you have questions about mediumship and Halloween and how that fits together? That is literally what we're here for today. Mm-hmm. So. But just to talk to you a little bit about the origins of this for us, is Halloween is a holiday for us.
Not for spiritualists.
And a lot of people get that a little bit confused because, again, they think all things, ooky spooky and mediumship go hand in hand. And that's kind of, mediumship for us is a lot more...
deeper.
Yeah.
Is year round, day all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of our tradition that spiritualism, is, we don't think the relationships go away just because somebody has passed into spirit. So,
Or that because the veil is, they say the veil is thin energetically at this time of year, and so maybe it, but it doesn't influence our ability to access spirit or the spirit world or communicate in that matter.
Yeah. I actually, you know, in a lot of traditions where they talk about the thinning of the veil, so different times of year produce different results for mediumship. So
that's, I understand. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
I felt the same.
Do you feel like in your practice there are different things that like seasons and astrology or stresses, things that affect your mediumship like that?
Yes.
That you go off of?
Yes. I really, well, even as a person, and you may feel that, listeners as well, that as we get into that season where we get less light and we move in toward the solstice time, I do believe we're influenced by the tides of the moon. We're influenced by astrology, right? Mm-hmm. We're influenced by the energy of light. So we do have that tendency in the winter period to, especially in our hemisphere, in around this time of year, to pull inward, to pull our energy inward and be more contemplative.
Yeah, correct.
That was a hard word.
Yeah. You don't have to learn anything else today. That was a $5
word.
My word
for that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. She is contemplative and all kinds of good stuff. So and good morning to our viewers on Facebook. We are always happy to see you. And if you have questions about mediumship or anything to do with Halloween, let us know. I'm sitting over here playing with my phone, not because I'm trying to be rude, by the way. but every year I post something up on my social media that kind of explains a little bit about spiritualism and Halloween. So essentially, I'm in it for the candy.
Don't tell my doctor we're having too much candy here. It was just like secret. Yeah.
No, everything in moderation.
Magic pill.
Magic.
Halloween and magic. Yeah, that would work.
So this is a religious holiday for some people, just not for spiritualists. It is a, so it has its roots in pagan traditions. Now there are lots and lots and lots of cultures that include. That include mediumship and include honoring their ancestors. Mm-hmm. And those are two different practices, two different things. And, you know, so what the roots that we celebrate here are very, with Halloween, are very kind of Celtic in origin. At least that's my understanding. So, you know, that's always interesting. Although I am well aware that my German friends tell me that that there are some Germanic pagan roots as well. So I want to honor that. But lots and lots of different traditions from around the world honor like this time of year. Day of the Dead. Dia de los Muertos is the Spanish original phrasing for it. That sounded weird. I didn't mean original phrasing like it's been replaced. It just sounded weird coming out of my mouth.
Well,
so
it's not our. It's
thought
not
I'd clarify.
Our place. Yeah, we don't practice that, so we might be a little ignorant on that. Or I mean, I know I am. I don't know if.
I know a little bit. I know that you know it's actually technically a 2-day celebration, and in which they put out an altar to honor their ancestors, their loved ones, and welcome them back to the land of the living. They'll put out their favorite foods, they'll play music and sing songs and tell stories and go to the graveyards and have picnics and visit with their loved ones. They feel that their loved ones can come and visit them. And of course, in our tradition, we think they can visit with us all the time.
I love that. I love that any culture and any person celebrates their ancestors. I mean, I think that's beautiful, whatever time of year you do that.
Agreed. And celebrating is actually different than ancestor worship, by the way, which is related practices, but not exactly the same. We're in spiritualism, we say we don't call on our spirits. So, you know, it's important to have a relationship with your loved ones in spirit rather than kind of treating them like a gumball machine or a vending machine. You know, I'm only going to call you if I need something.
And a lot of those cultures do connect with their spirits all year long. This is like a celebration, like we have Thanksgiving or Christmas when our family gets together,
yeah.
right? But individuals in that culture still communicate, you know, on occasion
regularly
with people from the people that I know that have celebrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Different religions, especially paganism. I mean, I really feel like they do this all year round. It's just a matter of, let's make this a magnificent day in honor of.
So, yes. Yeah. And I will repost my spiritualism and Halloween piece to Facebook and Instagram as well. But and always feel free to share. But I'm using my cheat sheet. So there's also the Western Christian tradition of All Hallows Tide. And that's just like Dia de los Muertos, but it's a 3-day celebration. So people get the opportunity to, you know, really kind of connect and commune. And I will say, I don't know about you, but I feel like when we set up the invitation, and consistently, like if your spirit people know that you're going to be there for them every Tuesday morning for an hour, they are very likely to drop by.
Because you're listening.
Because
you're
listening.
Paying attention. And you're not on your phone or you're not in your
right.
in your work. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So I would imagine that it's very much the same with traditions and celebrations. So, you know, that's very important. And there's also, so for those who are, and by the way, I think that the pagan community, it gets a lot of, you know, I'm old enough to have lived through the what we refer to as the Satanic Panic in the 90s. Yeah, maybe we're in Canada, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, and this is my resident Canadian friend.
Canada.
My favorite Halloween costume, giant Canadian flag.
Oh my God,
that's
her
favorite.
I wanted to show you a picture of that.
Yeah.
Shoot, I wish I had my camera, my phone with me.
Super fun, and because I'm born on Canada Day, by the way,
mm-hmm.
I joke that it's my favorite holiday. And, you know, why not? So, but yeah, I think that, paganism gets a bad rap. Paganism is, very much about being in tune with nature. Being in balance and harmony and, not about, you know, devil worship. There is no devil in paganism. So
personal responsibility, 3 times 3, it comes back to you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
yeah. And while spiritualists are not pagans, I think we are also going to get painted with that kind of brush sometimes because it's a cult in nature, because it's not not the traditional kind of big three, you know, and we're not an Abrahamic tradition. Although there are Christian spiritualists, that's not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So, although we have co-opted, from the beginning, a lot of, Christian traditions with, the music, I think, as well as, you know, meditation from our Eastern traditions and friends. And, but I hope that, that kind of brings a little bit of clarity. Of course, the carving of the pumpkins is always a great time. And I do love some roasted pumpkin seeds. So that's always.
Yeah.
That's a favorite.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I have very, very fond memories.
Pumpkin pie with whipped cream.
Yes. yes. So, you know, it's a tradition of thanking our ancestors for, for helping us through another year, because technically fall equinox is in many traditions and in lunar calendars, so like New Year's. So it's a new start, you know, and you've brought in the harvest in agrarian societies, which means that you've got enough food to get you through the winter, which is always a good thing. So you can celebrate a little bit.
I'm not sure where my mind's going this, but I think it's interesting with Halloween. I was talking about the other day, going back past somebody's yard that had a whole bunch of scary, gooey, blood-covered stuff out on
right.
the front. Yeah, and I thought, that would never be something I want to do. And yet I'm like, why do people do that? Like, I was just curious. And I got thinking about, well, maybe we need a time to acknowledge our fears, to recognize our fears, and recognize our fears don't have control of us. And maybe in a lot of ways, Halloween can serve us that way, to just project the fears out and the things that we dread. And, you know, we have, well, like when you're on the highway and you're driving by somebody that gets hit by a car, right?
Exactly.
There's this weird human fascination with the scariest things. And I don't know where I'm going with that.
But at the same time,
well, I think it is something that comes into my mind.
It makes sense to me because I think that we get caught up in it's a survival instinct, I think, with humans, where we think about, because it starts to get darker, and as it starts to get darker, we get a little nervous, we can't be out as late, and we have to, if we're harvesting, we have to make sure that whatever also lives in the woods or doesn't want to eat us as well as the crops. that's important.
That we have power over it.
Right, exactly.
We can put it on our lawn because we're really not afraid.
Right. Well,
of course, we like the adrenaline rush probably from watching that scary movie or something that's not real, right? Like I feel stronger. Well, I don't, but some people feel stronger because they know it's not real, so they can go into the entertainment value and get the rush and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating how you mentioned co-opting when we were talking about spiritualism, and it's like no matter what religion, and if you look through the history, there is always some kind of overlap because we're human, and whatever we evolve or move into, bring our history and our traditions and our conditioning with us and our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always going to be this little bit of overlap. In fact, when we were in Ireland, there was this area in the Declan area. Declan was a priest. And so he came in and very first priest, from what I understand, if I'm getting my history right, again, I wasn't prepared with this, so I didn't do my research. It's been many years since I was in Ireland. but he came onto the land and started his church. And you can see the church itself, that which is left of it in the ruins. And there is an image of a Sheelnagig. I think I'm pronouncing that right, but if I'm not, forgive me. And a Sheelnagig is a very large, round female head. And you see the arms coming around, opening the entrance to the womb.
Yeah.
And it's a symbol of the goddess, the mother, the great mother, the birthing, nurturing process, Mother Earth, all the things connected with that. And then right beside it was a crucifix. And it was carved into rock. And this thing was like as old as you can imagine. And there were people still today, there was a little pool of water in front of both of those, and they were doing current offerings. You could see fresh flowers. People were still offering to both. And clearly the Sheelnagig was something from the Celtic and original Pictish or whatever.
Right.
Forgive me again, I don't know. But that whatever culture came first, and then Declan came. So then we got that masculine and feminine again, which is that balance of the yin and yang. And if you look at every culture and every religion, you're always going to see some sort of merger and connection between the masculine and the feminine.
Exactly.
So you see this usurping, and then it's always fascinating from there. Okay, so if it makes it into our religious culture, it must also make it into our personal lifestyle, our language.
Right.
Right? So with idioms, we have skin cat.
Yes.
So it's a very Halloween-y idiom.
Right.
But does it come from Halloween, really? But that's how we bring these things through into our lives.
Exactly.
And then they become well-known things.
Yeah.
And that's part of our culture.
So I think also, so in certain traditions. You have the concept of, you know, the thinning of the veil. It's easier to speak with and honor your loved ones at this time of year. And then winter is supposed to be more about contemplative energy, going within, you know, yeah, it's kind of, so it's like the birthing cycle through the year. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's that, the sacred darkness, I want to say, you know, just like when you're in the womb and you're developing and, you know, getting all kinds of, good nourishment and,
even the trees do it.
Exactly.
Trees are losing their leaves. Mm-hmm. They go into a slightly dormant period, and then they rebirth and come back to life again.
Exactly. So, you know, so if you think that you are supposed to be going at full bore all year round, 365, 24/7, you're going to run out of energy. And there's not enough espresso in the world. Believe me, I've tried.
Yay for it.
Yay. So, there is not coffee in my coffee cup this morning, by the way, so that's proof that miracles can happen, but that is, again, because I am pre-caffeinated, so what are you going to do? If you have questions, please feel free to call into the radio show at 818-739-8818, or if you have a fun Halloween story that you want to share with us or a question about mediumship, we are all about that. You can also write, of course, if you're watching on Facebook, and it is broadcasting live on both the Lilydale page, which I keep checking, and and my page as well. So, you know, I have to do it on separate devices to avoid feedback, by the way. So, FYI. But yeah, we would be happy to answer questions as well. So, and you know, I think one of the big Halloween traditions, you know, because we like ghost stories you know, as humans, we sit around the fire and we connect with each other and we tell spooky stories. And there's not as much to do at night because the days are shorter. So that's going to happen. But there's the whole thing. Are you ready for the loaded question of the century?
Okay. Wait, hang on a minute.
Please don't kill me afterwards.
Exhale.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. What are your thoughts on earthbound spirits?
No, I'm kidding.
That was perfect. That was hilarious.
I'm kidding. That's an interesting. Well, I guess I've come to the conclusion we all have choice when we leave our form.
Mm-hmm.
When we go back to our spirit self.
Yeah.
And I guess I've come to the conclusion and the stance that if there's anyone sticking around at this denser level, they're chewing it.
That's my viewpoint as well. I think I would say 0.0001% of the billions of people who are born and pass, you know, don't realize that they're gone at first, or, you know, I mean, it's not really like something to be afraid of for the most part, you know?
Well, I have strong faith in the spirit team, the spirit support, that we have other people on the other side that are always looking out for our best interests.
Yeah.
And sometimes our best interest is to go through a difficult time.
Right.
Right. It's not to have roses, flowers, unicorns, and fairy dust every day.
But I want it now.
Now. I like the fairy dust part, actually, I got to say. but I feel like if you're passing over, there's going to be some. I've seen it in thousands of readings. It's like when you pass over, there is someone there to greet you and make you feel connected and reunified with yourself and with everything else that is of love.
Right.
So if there's some step of challenge, it could be your own guilt. It could be, you know, your spirit's feeling it needs to do it this way to learn the lesson it needs to learn. So I don't believe that we need to heal earthbound spirits. I don't believe we need to help them cross over. I did at one time believe that. I had a spirit come in a dream and show me that. And then the teacher I had at the time, I expressed that dream and she put me straight. when I say put me straight, she helped me see that it was something inside myself that needed the healing. And it was based on my fear. So my fear that there was someone stuck, my concern for someone stuck. And then I needed to, in my ego, in my situation, I needed to go in and recognize that it was me that needed to recognize and trust spirit more to take care of the business for myself as well. So I was projecting in my dream somebody else having a problem, and I was going to be the hero that came in and solved it. And when she set me straight, I realized, oh, yeah, if I trust my people enough, and again, natural law, thoughts are things, you know, put out the best, project, see everyone in the light, and they're going to be able to find that for themselves if they're choosing something else.
That was an excellent explanation,
was
by
it?
The way.
Oh.
Yeah. I liked the...
I guess I shouldn't think ahead of time.
I really liked the, yes. The sorry, I just got a message, by the way, from Auntie Apt.
Hi, Auntie.
Who is of course one of our fellow registered mediums, and she's just announced to me that she's going to be restarting her show, Spiritual Conversations with Angies and Friends, on Sundays. So you can start looking for that Sundays at 1 o'clock. And you know, there's a whole lineup of Lily Dale radio shows. I always try to make sure that I remind people of that. So on, wow, my brain just went out. So Tuesdays we have Embracing Your Essence with Colleen van der Zijden. And she is on at 8 PM. And we have Wednesdays with Willa at 10 AM. And we have myself on Thursdays, Wake Up to Spirit with Celeste Elliott. And Fridays, we may have somebody new coming in. And now it looks like Sundays, of course, we'll be rejoined by Angie App. So, you know, we're having fun with this. This is actually my fifth season, if you can believe it or not.
Because
I started with Celestial Fridays, and Celestial Fridays.
We love our puns, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Play on words.
And it got a little too chaotic on Fridays, so I moved to Thursday mornings, which has been my home for 4 years now. So, which is great. So, Angie, we can't wait to see you back on air. So that's going to be fantastic. And, you know, by the way, Lily Dale does offer classes online in the off season. So, you know, we're working very diligently on next summer's program. And we have our off season thing. So keep checking the website for that. The grounds themselves are open all year, right?
Correct.
So,
and they're even pretty when there's snow piled up to your nose.
So yeah, January can be a little rough.
Bring your snowshoes.
Because we are in ski country. We're on the Chautauqua Ridge, an hour south of Buffalo. So, you know, that's a thing. We get on all the time. The churches do things on Sundays. There's different church services that you can attend. Wednesday evenings, Lily Dale sponsors our a Wednesday evening healing service, and that is both in person at 7 p.m. in the Healing Temple. The churches take turns in who's chairing that for the evening. We each take a month and rotate through. And also there is, it's live streamed on Facebook. So you can tune in and request a healing. It's a very sweet service, you know, and you can sit for yourself. You can put somebody else's name on the prayer list. Spiritual healing is part of the spiritualist tradition. So if you're interested in that,
just sitting at home witnessing this, you're adding power, you're adding healing, you're adding love by just witnessing this. If you sit in meditation while someone else is getting healing, if you're sitting at home and the Zoom playing, you are adding to that your power and also receiving the connection by making the connection yourself. So you don't have to know how to heal show up in love, show up in best intentions, and you can benefit from it as well.
Yeah, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, my brain wants to steer this back to the kind of Halloween conversation, mm-hmm. by the way. And I'm trying to check the, it looks like we do have a caller, which is great. For anybody who wants to call in, it's 818-739-8818. Again, we're not doing mediumship readings on air or psychic readings on air. There is a difference, by the way. One involves a spirit person and the other involves information out of your aura. So everything you think you know and have experienced from the time you came onto this planet.
Another way to think of it is psychic is a two-way call and mediumship is a three-way conference call. Maybe there's a lot of people in the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of the Brady Bunch or all the Zoom calls that we've all done in the last several years. I just have to say, I'm so glad I was doing Zoom before the pandemic happened because, oh my gosh, that's a lot to adjust to. So
you're already in the rhythm of it. Yeah.
God bless us
and,
all.
And your team people showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As they always do. So,
yay.
So long story short, do talk to your spirit loved ones. So I want to talk about the other ooky spooky things that we associate with mediumship and Halloween, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of the traditions come from that we celebrate today in the North American culture, so U.S., Canada, come from kind of co-opting Christian ideas about, you know, demons and the devil and all that sort of thing, which, of course, is not really, it's not part of spiritualism for us. So, poltergeist, because we were talking about energy and we were talking about healing, and I thought that might be kind of a good, that's a good lead-in. we didn't plan it. Maybe we should have, but we didn't. So poltergeist, my experience with that has been more to do with people in the living. Have you had any experience with that?
There is a pattern where certain ages of people or trauma in the household parallels something going on in the physicality of the space. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So kind of what we're alluding to, just like you can do mediumship any time of year and connect with your loved ones. So the more you limit yourself or set expectations on yourself, the more limited you may become. So that's something to bear in mind. we limit ourselves in a lot of ways. Have you ever been to a spoon bending class? This is where my mind is going.
Okay. With Ron Nagy.
Oh, fun. Okay. Ron Nagy is our Lilydale historian, by the way.
Yes.
He hangs out in the museum and does all kinds of stuff with that. He wrote a book on spoon bending and he wrote a book on slate writing. And he used to do a class every year on spoon bending. And there's different ways to do it, by the way. There were lots of like PK or telekinesis experiments that went on in the 60s and 70s and even in the 90s. And I'm sure they're still going on. Frankly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, check the Monroe Institute because I have no concept right now, but they're famous for it. So, but the human mind, telekinesis, so moving things with your mind or, doing cool things that we think of as not possible for humans is a thing, right? So yes, it happens with people in the living that they can move things, turn on lights, affect electricity. Lots of people who have had near-death experiences, things go haywire, and there's lots of studies on that that go haywire with their with electrical devices.
My grandmother could never wear a watch.
Yeah, that is a number one complaint.
It would just quit on her all the time.
Yeah, computers die or go funny. If they walk under streetlights, the lights will go on or off, depending. So, you know, it's not uncommon if there's people who, and by the way, the people who have that kind of kinetic energy, the best healers, dynamite healers, because they have all that energy and they just have a solid
connection. Yeah. They can draw on the power of the energy that is around them.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
physical energy.
My friends that study Tai Chi, Qigong, that sort of thing, they talk about your Qi, your life force energy, and they'll say they just have a lot of Qi. They need a way to direct it and control it.
Now, I think it's interesting because I wouldn't consider myself a physical medium. Well, I'm not a physical medium at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't developed that. And yet at the same time, when I was years ago, when I was doing my graphics and my art and that kind of thing, I was using the computer a lot. And I would sometimes get really frustrated about something and angry. And I zapped my computer a couple times during that period.
Yeah.
So that projection of emotion is extremely powerful energy, especially when it's in those lower vibrations of anger and fear and this kind of thing. They can affect not only the space and atmosphere around you. Like, you know, when you walk into somebody's house after there's been an argument, it's just like the air's heavy. Even if you're not considering yourself psychic, you know, every day as a person, you can pick that up. And it's a survival. It's we all have it within us, that ability to breathe that in and be aware.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's an our spidey senses are an extension of our survival skills. Yeah. And why would we have less instincts than a bear in the woods?
Right.
Or an aunt, or, you know, the neighbor's cat, or whatever. You know, of course we do. So, yeah. So that's, because I do get questions about that from time to time. And yes, spirit people can make physical phenomena happen. They can play with electrical.
Oh, absolutely.
Turn on lights, move things, so that you'll notice and pay attention.
Turn the radio on. I had that happen.
Last year was the first time that through a reading I became aware that spirit people can bend light, manipulate light in order to get our attention also.
That makes sense. I've had that experience.
Yeah.
I think about it in those terms.
Yeah. Right. And it just never occurred to me that that's what was happening until a spirit person blatantly said to me, this is what I'm doing to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 'cause I'd had it come through before where it's like, oh, I like to play with the light catcher in the window, or I like to, you know, or I'll stand in front of motion detector is the word that I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, those little like plug-in lights that have the motion detector.
The things that you put in,
right,
shine in your yard and you think a squirrel going by and setting off or whatever.
They can set off the Ring doorbells. That happens. but I always say, you know, look for the natural before you look for the supernatural.
Right.
You know.
Eliminate the obvious and then go into the, well, is it obvious though? Maybe the other obvious, maybe.
Yeah. Eliminate the normal causes. I got distracted because there is a gorgeous little bird staring at us from the window. By the way, probably like I feel like I'm in a zoo. It's looking at us like, what are you doing?
Yeah, their point of view is going to be very different than ours.
Yep. Right.
It's probably smarter than ours.
So anyway. But if you have any experiences that you would like to share with us, we would love to discuss it. Please feel free. Are spirits willing to come through or do they hesitate? Oh, that's such a good one. Thank you, Linda. I think that's totally dependent on spirit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Choice.
Yeah. Have you ever had the experience of a spirit person who, as a display of personality, they didn't believe in mediumship, and so they just kind of like, they were like, well, I'm here, but like, I don't really know how I feel about this yet.
I know what you're talking about. I probably have.
Yeah. Where they kind of, they're a little, I don't want to say standoffish, but they're a little like, they don't want to get too close to the medium. They don't.
I find like, it interesting when I get people standing off.
Yeah.
There's usually a relationship correlation with the person sitting across from me. So it's like they have something to resolve with that person.
Yeah.
And they love that person.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pattern I've seen. They love that person. So
right.
What they end up doing is being a little hesitant to bring either the subject up.
Right.
Or to open up, you know, the ball of wax or,
mm-hmm.
or you know, Pandora's box. Well, that's a
right.
good Halloween thing. a nice little idiom for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
but yeah, so I've noticed that. And then once they get a sense of whether the sitter is receptive as I bring little pieces through, as they tell them to me,
mm-hmm.
then they become more open and more vulnerable, just like as if they were here
sure.
and having a conversation with the person in the living.
Right.
They're allowing the ease, harmony, and love to show up as the priority. And so they don't
right.
stir the pot, and yet they want to get some resolution for themselves based on the disturbance that happened before they passed. So that's
right.
where I feel the reticence, you know, the dog with the tail between their legs, you know, like, I feel
yeah.
them as if they're backing up. Like they feel there's that
yeah.
kind of feeling. And then
if they're not sure how they're going to be received, exactly.
then they're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they want, they're being responsible for themselves, but also being considered the sitter as well.
Exactly.
So that's what I've seen a lot of in terms of reticence.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense to me. I've had the same experience. It's very interesting, you know. And then there are some people who will come back within seconds of passing.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. time moves very differently for the spirit world than it does for us, you know. So they, what is 5 seconds for us could be 3 years for them in spirit. But I mean, they're measuring it against eternity.
That's an arbitrary number, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. Completely
well, yeah, they're measuring
arbitrary.
Eternity. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So everything's relative, I guess,
yeah.
if I suppose, in this,
yeah.
in, based on the scale that they're perceiving from.
It's all
like
relative, especially if they're family.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. That was really bad.
but we have to.
Yes, exactly. So that was an excellent question. Thank you very much for that. So yes, I am teaching classes, mediumship online on Friday nights, by the way. So that was one of the questions. You can go to my website for that. Let's see. I think at this point, we have like 2 minutes left, so let's go ahead and take our caller. And if we go a little long, we'll go long.
Yes.
So, caller, go ahead. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Hi. Okay.
Hi.
My name's Shelley. I am from North Central Ohio. And so I live about, 15, 20 miles away from the historic Ohio State Reformatory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption?
I have.
That was where it was shot.
Yeah.
And so they say it's haunted and they reopen it as a haunted house.
Yeah.
And when I saw that you were going to be having this session today on spiritualism and Halloween, I wanted to call in and chime in and have an intelligent conversation, intuitive conversation with you all, if you will, about should the damned be constantly damned? what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah. So, by the way, I am a native Ohioan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my friend calls me Ohian, which I thought was hilarious, so I've kept it. so, thanks. Shout out to Nicole for that. But I went to school in Athens. So, if
okay.
you've ever been there to the asylum, that's some very, very, very interesting energy. So places like that, asylums and prisons and places that they kind of reopen as haunted, I'm going to use air quotes, although you can't see me. I have a couple thoughts on that, and I apologize for the countdown clock, and please ignore it because we'll still be on air. We'll keep going. I find the idea that if you have been imprisoned somewhere, that you would stay imprisoned of your own volition after you die, to be a little silly.
Right. Because you're given another option.
Yeah, but there is a lot of weird residual energy, mm-hmm. which is different than an intelligent connection with a person. So just like Kathleen was saying, you know, sometimes if there's been like an argument or something and you went to somebody's house and you're like, ooh, I can feel the tension. I can feel this energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of that.
You got a good point there. The people who can do psychometry, like if I handed them my grandmother's ring that I've worn for years, they could probably feel my energy on it, but I may not actually be in the room, for example.
Exactly.
It's like an energetic echo.
Yes.
From a trauma or experience that was recorded in the magnetic field. So if you think of those, I always think of the old-fashioned cassette tapes and the fact that they are magnetized so that when you record on them, something scientifically happens there where an impression is left in the field of that tape and the magnetism and whatever. But the fact that it even happened tells me that, well, there's magnetic energy and electrical energy, and we are electrical magnetic beings, and the interface of those two things can leave
an imprint,
call it an echo, because it may come back when stimulated or triggered again.
Yeah. Honestly, I try never to go places I don't want to be. I think that kind of brings me back to my point. Like I think if I pass somewhere, I don't like hospitals. I'm not hanging out there after I pass. And sometimes people do hang around for a little while after they pass just to kind of get their bearings, or they're unsure of what it's going to be like on the other side. But when they're ready, they go home, you know? Mm-hmm. However, I have been to locations that are purportedly haunted, and there's been a lot of paranormal investigators come in and kind of try to poke the bear. I have nothing against paranormal investigators. Please don't take it that way. I think, you know, it's important work, because you're looking at what are the environmental factors, you're looking at what are the psychic factors.
You're helping the people that are suffering in that environment.
Right, exactly. Environment, what's the ground around that area built on? You know, is there a lot of quartz? Because that amplifies energy. Is there a lot of water around? That amplifies energy. But sometimes what happens is you get, so the thing in when you did, when we did Halloween in Athens, when I was in college, was if we had a year where it was warm out and we had a year where there was no Ohio State game going on, we had a lot of people that came down from Columbus to Athens, or they'd come down from other colleges, other areas, and there were a lot more incidents of trouble because they were there kind of on vacation with these ideas of like, I can cause trouble and get away with it. And I think
the classic infamous OU Halloween parties that I've heard about. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and this will be a new, this is a new story for most of my viewers, but because you're Ohioan, you understand.
I mean, it's like the biggest street party in Ohio, fellow listeners.
Yes, and they close down the main street, and they've got cops in riot gear, and it's like a whole thing, you know, like, and you better have a good costume. Yeah. That's why I'm so into Halloween. So but it attracts sometimes the wrong element, you know what I mean? So it's sort of like people who are sort of more mischievous in life, that once they've passed away, they're like, I wonder if I can kind of hang out a little bit and see, you know, like if somebody really liked the idea of like annoying people, or, you know, causing a little bit of trouble. Sometimes you get that kind of element too, that is not originating in the space that is being investigated. Now I've seen investigations go lots of different ways. I've seen people who go in and they're like, well, I just want to see honestly, like whatever's here is here, and what's environmental, what is, you know, man-made with structures, what is, and what is spirit, because spirit is not always the thing that is causing trouble. So there's all of these different things that kind of play into that. And then I've seen investigations where people are like, yeah, I went in and I was really aggressive and I really tried to provoke them and I really tried to, and it's like, eventually if somebody screams at you and backs you into a corner and says, you have a terrible temper and I know it and I'm going to prove, and eventually somebody's going to get fed up and be like, yeah, get out of my face. You know, and they can get provoked. So that's a factor also, you know, like if you're just trying to enjoy a peaceful afterlife and you happen to enjoy a place,
want to hang out there
and somebody comes along and is like, you're a jerk and I'm going to disrupt you in every way I can. that's problematic.
Boundaries are important even with those on the other side.
Yeah. We both, yeah. we've had many, many, many discussions about boundaries with the spirit world.
Yeah.
And with people in the living as well. So. But yeah, so does that kind of explain, like, or does that bring up more questions for you?
I really, really enjoyed your point about, you know, if a lot of, you know, unpleasant activity happened in an area, if you're sensitive to that, you may feel that energy, and that makes a lot of sense. Or if mischievous people died at a certain place, they may want to come back and do mischievous things, or sometimes if they're provoked, all those things do make sense. I do have one more question for you while we're here and we're talking about Halloween. Yeah. One of the things I love about Halloween as a spiritualist, that it's like one of the few times of year when common people can be introduced to, you know, the idea that you can connect with the beyond. What could we collectively do to encourage more experiences that are, not just startling because they've never had it before, but no, more positive, shall we say.
I think the more we talk about our loved ones as interacting in our lives and include them and normalize it, the better off we all are, both on this plane of reality and the next. And I think that's really important. And I think, by the way, I appreciate people talking about themselves as spiritualists because it brings the religion and philosophy to the, to the understanding of people also. Because I never thought that people knew what spiritualism was. I thought that was a big part of our problem in the last,
like
5 years ago. Yeah, exactly. Cause you know, I would go, you know, into other parts of Chautauqua County and that weren't familiar with Lilydale, maybe like, what the heck is a spiritualist? But I find it often used as slang for anything metaphysical, mediumistic, psychic. So I really, really appreciate people talking about it as as religion and philosophy as well. So if they know that it's not just mediumship, I think that's huge. But mediumship.
Yeah. And Celeste, if I might add to that idea, I know you need to wrap up. If you're interested in creating more of, outwardly awareness of, the presence of spiritualism, one of the biggest things that impressioned on me over the years was when I stopped by the museum and I had a chat with Ron Nagy, and he mentioned that Lincoln had seances.
Oh, yeah. Seances in the White House.
Yeah.
Big. Yeah.
That is kind of big that, on the record, he wasn't really listed as anything when his wife was definitely practicing, and it sounds like she got him to practice a little bit too.
Yeah. There's some great books out on that. Seances in the White House is literally a book title for anybody who's interested. And that's a good kind of easy read, good starter for the information. But I agree with you. I think focusing on the history is important, so people know where the philosophy comes from.
And our principles, I think, are interesting because more people than not that I've met mm-hmm. that are being introduced to spiritualism align with some of those principles beforehand, like they didn't even know spiritualism existed. I know for myself, it was the same thing. I didn't know what spiritualism was.
Right.
And I had developed my own understanding of spirit, of God, of how things all fit together. And I was at one point searching for a container to put it in.
Right.
And I didn't find it. So I settled on just believing what I believed. And then I did encounter spiritualism. And when I saw the principles, it was like, check, 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 check. I'd already had that faith. I didn't even have to question it. And I'm realizing the people, especially this summer, I've met a lot of people that when I explain to them what the principles are, they're saying, oh, well, yeah, that's why I'm sitting here with you communicating, because I believe all those things. So again, like you said, talking about it, sharing, that some of these precepts that we're coming with and principles and perspectives are already in a lot of people's faith base. And it may help them, even if they don't start, because we're not missionaries. We don't try to pull people into our faith.
Right.
But at the same time, it'll let them know that there would be a place to go with like-minded people and people that align with their belief system. So talking about it is brilliant.
Yeah. I was just checking to see if there were any more comments that I needed to worry about, but I don't think so. So we're good there. But thank you so much for calling in, because that was this has been a really, really nice conversation, and we've appreciated talking with you. So
thanks for having me. See you next summer.
Okay. We'll be here. Well, not here in Canada.
Very good.
No. Okay.
We'll be here with Monet. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, happy Halloween. I think that's pretty much wraps it up for today. So thank you, everybody who tuned in. Thank you to my lovely co-host, mm-hmm. Kathleen Bolt.
Thank you for the invitation.
We will see you live on air next week. If you have questions or you would like to call in. Now, next week, I am interviewing Colleen Vanderzijden, another registered medium in Lilydale, about her new book, Courageously You. And she's going to talk about some coaching choices and her that are in her new book. I think you'll really enjoy that. And then later on in the month, I have Jill Tracy, who is a fabulous musician out of San Francisco. And she has a new album out called The Secret Music of Lilydale. Sorry, I had a hard time getting that out. And that was a crowdsourced project, and it was all done and created and recorded in Lilydale. I've had her on before when she was in the the midst of the project, and I can't wait to have her back and talk about all kind of cool stuff. So, all right. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And until next time, I'm wishing you a good day and good vibes. So bye-bye. Okay.